From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, good to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, and indeed questions from around the world. Our contact information on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on already. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Andrew. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, this is actually Andrew's mom, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
I just wanted to preface Andrew's question by letting you know that we had some Jehovah's Witnesses knock on our door today.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew is 7 years old, and I've been trying to explain to him who they are and what they believe. And I was wondering if you could help us with that. I'm going to hand him the phone now, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, here he is.
Thanks, Robin. And hi, Andrew.
Hi. Can you tell me about the Jehovah's Witnesses? They came to our door today,
uh-huh.
And, I told my mom I would rip it up, so I ripped it up and threw it in the trash can. I'm just wondering more about, if I can learn more about them.
Sure. Yeah, and you know what I think is really important, Andrew, is to realize that your mom has given you a teachable moment here, where you can learn something, not just about what the witnesses believe, but what you believe. Because the real issue here, Andrew, is about who Jesus Christ is. And as a Christian, we believe that Jesus is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. In other words, he created all things. But the Jehovah's Witnesses say that that is not true. They say that Jesus Christ himself was created by God. And so this is a huge difference between what Christians believe and what people involved in the Watchtower believe, or what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Now, then they believe further that when Jesus Christ came to earth, he was merely a human being. In other words, he was not really God in human flesh, but rather just a human being. And then after he died, he was not resurrected, but he was recreated once again to be an immaterial spirit creature. So I think the teachable moment here, Andrew, is for you to be so familiar with truth, particularly when it comes to who Jesus is, that when a counterfeit like the Jehovah's Witnesses appears on your doorstep, you'll be able to identify it instantaneously. Now, there are a lot of beliefs that the Jehovah's Witnesses have that are not in concert with Christianity, but you always want to stay with the main and the plain things. And the main and the plain things are where the Watchtower organization, which is the organization of the Jehovah's Witnesses, where they deviate from these essential Christian doctrines. And the most important of those is who Jesus Christ is. And again, from a biblical standpoint, Jesus is the one who created everything. And he's not only the one who created the universe, but in creating everyone, he's the one responsible for knitting you together in your mother's womb. And of course, Andrew, the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that all the days ordained for you are written in his book before even one of them came to be. So the one who created you, the one who created the universe, is also the one who wants you to have his life within you so that you can experience him and have an intimate personal relationship with the Creator of all things. So again, this is a teachable moment where you can become more and more familiar with who your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
Does that help you?
Not that much.
Well, you know, this is something that maybe you want to spend some time talking to your mom about. Just say this, Mom, I want you to teach me who Jesus is from the perspective of the Bible. This is the real important thing, Andrew, and that is from the perspective of the Bible, Jesus spoke and the universe leapt into existence. In other words, Jesus is the creator of everything. But the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that. They believe that Jesus himself is created. So in other words, instead of Jesus Christ creating all things, he himself is a created being. And that's the real distinction, the most important distinction between what Christians believe and what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Hang on, and I have some information on the Watchtower organization that I can send you that's simple, easy to understand, and something that you can use as you explore this very important teachable moment. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Gregory in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Gregory.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. I have a question. I know one verse is Psalm 82, I think there's 6, and I think it's another one, either Matthew or Mark. And it speaks to how it says, we are gods. And I'm trying to get an interpretation of it. Like, I'm sure it's not literally saying we're gods, you know. I'm trying to figure out, like, what does it mean when it says that?
Yeah, well, you're right. This is a word by Jesus Christ himself, and he's speaking to the teachers of the law. And he says to them, is it not written in your law, I have said that you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent him into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Now, speaking of a teachable moment, this is a teachable moment for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Because what Jesus Christ here is doing is he is referring back, as you correctly note, to Psalm 82, where Jesus is saying in the Psalms themselves, there are those who claim that they represent God to God's people, and yet they are going to die like mere men. But I, in contrast, am not one who is simply a representative of God to the people. I am God in human flesh. And if you look at the context of John chapter 10, where you find Jesus speaking in this vein, the Jews here are trying to stone him to death. And Jesus is saying, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. From which one of these are you going to stone me? And they said, well, we're not stoning you for any of these, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. And so what Jesus Christ is doing here in ironic fashion is he is showing the difference between himself as the one who came from the Father full of grace and truth, the one who bears all the image of God, the one who, in fact, is more than just the image bearer, but he is the embodiment of divinity in human flesh. So Jesus is making the contrast between himself and mere mortals who take the position as representatives of God, but oftentimes do not correctly represent God to the people.
Gotcha. So, and the same principle can be applied for Psalm 82 as well, correct?
Well, yeah, and that's what Jesus is actually referring to. Now, if Jesus was teaching that men are gods, he would be seriously confused because he previously taught that there's only one God. And of course, if Jesus was teaching that, it would prove that the Bible's contradicting itself. But you have to recognize again that there's a principle here that we should never forget, and that is words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. For example, Satan is referred to as God, right? He's the God of this world. But that doesn't mean that he bears the same nature as God. Moses was referred to as God. But again, he was referred to God in the same sense as people referred to as God in the sense that they represented God to the people. So we have to always remember that we are not reproductions of God, but reflections of God. We reflect his communicable attributes, his attributes such as personality, spirituality, rationality, including knowledge and wisdom. But we are not by nature God. And Jesus Christ is making the distinction between himself and mere men who are representatives of God to the people. And again, in the case of the teachers of the law, here they are not even properly representing God to the people.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate the interpretation.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also, write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the Internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Scott, listening in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
To tell you the truth, I want to ask you a question. I have a daughter that is leaving her husband for a woman, and we are Christians, and to be honest with you, Hank, I'm really having a lot of difficulty dealing with this issue.
Well, I mean, I think we have to deal with it as we would anyone who is lost and seeking their way. We need to demonstrate love. This is precisely what Jesus Christ did. He modeled love. He spoke the truth in love, but he did speak the truth. And I think we should recapture this zeal for all those who are lost. We should recapture this zeal, certainly for those who are engaged in homosexual practice. That means speaking, acting out of love and not out of hate, and continuing to communicate the good news about God's rule. And then throwing a party when someone repents and returns home and reintegrate them fully into communities of faith. So I think we need to, again, model the behavior of Jesus Christ in this regard and recognize that we were in the same place when we were lost. We were in the place of living life by the dictates of our own will, but as believers, we now say, no, the North Star is the Word of God. The reason we adhere to the Word of God is we can demonstrate that it's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and we recognize that in His Word, He sets parameters around our lives, not because He is a cosmic killjoy, but rather because He wants our joy to be complete.
Right, I understand that. All right. I sure appreciate it, Hank. Thank you so much.
Well, Scott, thank you for giving us a call today. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mandela next, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Mandela.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. I just had a question for you. I just wanted to hear what your belief and your study and what you have come across in terms of what does the Bible have to say, or the biblical view on being slain in the Spirit, or you know, the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to know what your thought is on that, on the biblical view, or if you what you've come across in your study and what you believe about that.
Yeah, well, I've written a whole book dealing with this called Counterfeit Revival, but in principle, this is what I would say in sum. Nowhere do you find a practice like being slain in the Spirit in the ministry of Jesus Christ or the apostles. Secondly, the phenomenon itself is explainable by natural processes. Thirdly, I would say it is found very frequently in the world of the occult. Fourthly, I would say that from a biblical perspective, we are called to be alert and sober-minded, not those who work themselves into an altered state of consciousness and become hyper-suggestible, willing to believe virtually anything that enters their minds, no matter how mundane or outlandish. And this is in concert with a lot of what has been said throughout the ages when these phenomenon became particularly prevalent during quote-unquote times of revival. Wesley, for example, attributed that phenomenon to the simplicity of people and to the ploys of Satan. And even the dictionary of Pentecostal and charismatic movements says that within the discipline of sociology, slain in the Spirit might fall under the general rubric of possession trance, and it is generally acknowledged, and this is, by the way, a Pentecostal resource, it is generally acknowledged that in addition to God, the source of the experience can be a purely human response to autosuggestion, group peer pressure, or simply a desire to experience the phenomenon. And then they go on to say that it is unquestionable that there is no biblical evidence for the experience as normative in the Christian life. Scripture plainly offers no support for the phenomenon. That, again, from the Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movements.
Right. That's very interesting you mention all that, because, you know, I just personally in my study, you know, I've been just wanting to look for it in the Bible, and I just haven't seemed to come across any occurrence of this. I've always wondered, where in history did this begin in our movement of the church?
Yeah, well, you know, there are those that say you can find it in the Bible. For example, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Jesus displayed the effulgence of his divine nature for a millisecond, and they fell backwards onto the ground, and they say they were slain in the spirit. But, of course, when you read Scripture this way, you have a very convoluted sense of what the Scripture is teaching. Because people today in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements or the Word of Faith movement that are showcasing slain in the Spirit are saying that this is falling under the presence of God, or this is a blessed experience. Of course, with respect to the soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't a blessing at all. It was a judgment.
Wow. That was very interesting that you mentioned. I really appreciate you expanding this onto me. It's been something that's been on my mind and my heart a lot. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Mandela. Thank you for your call. Next up is Rich. He's listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Hank. God bless you. I just can't tell you what a blessing you've been to my wife and I over the years. You're just a wealth of good information that we really appreciate it. So you're always in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, my question is on end times. You know, there's a lot of people who have actually made an industry out of predicting what's going to happen. And I did read your book, The Apocalypse Code, but it was kind of, maybe it was a little over my head. Because it was almost like a textbook. I didn't really get a picture of what you think the chronology of events are going to be. Like, there'll be the rapture and then the rise of the one world government. And just, I don't know how to interpret what
there's a reason for that, Rich, and that is that the Bible says nothing whatsoever about the rise of a one world government in the 21st century. It says nothing whatsoever in the entirety of its text about a pre-tribulational rapture. In fact, the idea was first posited and popularized in the 19th century. So it's a very new modern idea, and therefore the Bible doesn't deal with it at all. The fact of the matter is, the reason that people do not know and constantly come up with false predictions is that they're reading something into the text of Scripture as opposed to reading the Bible for all it's worth, or mining the Bible for all its wealth. So they take great and glorious passages that have to do with the blessed hope of resurrection, and they interpret those passages in light of the notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans, with two distinct destinies, therefore necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming followed 7 years later by the second coming of Jesus Christ, whereby someone can predict exactly when the second coming will take place. Now, in biblical orthodoxy, I don't think that there is any place for being able to tell when Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time, only that he will appear a second time. So there's nothing whatsoever that we have by which we can tell when that will occur. What we know is that when he does appear a second time, the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. We will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we will forever have God himself with us. In other words, the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will no longer be separate, but conjoined. And that's what John says in the book of Revelation. God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. And that's what we long for and hope for. And as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it means this. It means that we must prepare as though Christ's coming is a long way off, and be prepared as though he might come in the next millisecond, because we simply do not know when Jesus Christ will appear a second time. And you're right, people have been making a cottage industry out of telling people that they do know, and they have been 100% wrong 100% of the time. What happens when people make these kinds of declarations is they leave everyone in the lurch, even their own movements in the lurch. It is decidedly dangerous, and it is unbiblical. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.